back to Cairo Nights. On the line right now is my very good friend and my one and only liberal menace, Mr. Billy Sunshine. Billy Sunshine, how are you doing this evening, sir?
Are we still friends?
Are you prepared to... We won't be after this fight, Billy. Are you prepared? Are you prepared for this debate, Billy? Have you done your research? Have you done everything you need to do?
No.
Okay, perfect.
I'm unprepared, as always.
All right. Well, let me announce everything.
And by the way, yeah. I don't want to have a boxing match. I prefer wrestling.
Billy, you couldn't pick yourself up off the floor. What are you talking about?
No, I'm in great shape these days. I'm doing great.
No, you're not, Billy. You look like an elephant seal. Every time you lay down on your couch, you look like an elephant seal in the sun.
Why do I like being insulted by you? I don't understand.
All right. Well, Billy, let's do our little... We're going to be debating today, according per your request. Lollapalooza, the big music festival, was this past weekend, and literally hundreds of thousands of people went to it. It was a huge smashing success, and you hate it, correct, Billy? Now, don't give me any of your debate points, but just you disagree with it.
I disagree with the fact that people go to an event where there are hundreds of thousands of people, yes.
Okay, so let's do introductions really quick, okay?
Don't you?
In the red corner.
Oh, here we go.
Stalin Billy Sunshine, a.k.a. Trotskyite, Leninite, communist, evil, hippie Billy Darkness in the red corner. In the blue corner, weighing a tight 175 pounds, brimming with testosterone, America's favorite son, Mr. Jack Stein, world famous radio talent, ready to totally kick butt and take names, Billy Sunshine, ready to...
I don't have any idea what you're doing.
Why do you suffer through the abuse that I give to you, Billy, is the question that I always ask myself. Well, you just suffer through the abuse that I levy at you.
Well, first of all, since it's 100% untrue, it doesn't bother me. If you attack me with something real, then I might feel defensive.
All right, Billy. Well, let's flip a coin, and we'll call it in the air, and we'll figure out who goes first. Okay, you ready?
All righty.
One, yes. Two, three, flipped it. Heads.
I thought it landed on its side.
It did.
Of those miracle moments. Neither head nor tail. It's amazing.
All right. Well, tie goes to the runner, Billy. Do you want to go first?
No, you go first.
All right. Here we go. All right, round one. Billy Sunshine, the fact of the matter is that the average age of people attending this festival is people under the age of 40 years old. And according to the CDC data, none of these people need to be seriously concerned about COVID-19. If you look at the number of deaths for people under the age of 50 years old in the United States, it drops precipitously every 5 years. So what that means, Billy, is that the total number of people who have died from COVID-19 under the age of 30 is somewhere in the neighborhood of about 15,000 people. It's not a lot comparatively.
Wow.
When you look at the
15,000 young people have died, and you're going to tell me, that's nothing.
Billy, people die every day. But more importantly, if you look at if this was a Kenny Loggins concert, or if this was, I don't know, like a Sinatra impersonator concert, and everybody over the age of 80 years old went to this, yeah, I would be concerned. But it's not. It's a bunch of young, healthy people who are out in the sun, perfectly acceptable for people to be there, Billy Sunshine. That's
okay.
my opening argument.
Okay, so here's my response. Are you crazy? Jack.
Yeah.
Jack, first of all, I don't know if you're keeping up with the statistics, but young people are getting sick and dying like crazy lately. This new Delta thing is doing to young people what the other virus was doing to the old people.
Okay.
So it's not something where these kids themselves aren't going to get sick. But then what happens when they leave this concert? They don't lock themselves in their rooms. They spread throughout the United States without their masks, of course, going where they go and spreading whatever virus they've picked up.
Okay.
Whether it kills them or not is not so important as the larger picture of what it does to keep the damn virus alive and going. We're not healthy. The virus is right now.
Okay.
You know, we're going to have a Lambda events, and eventually we'll get to Omega, and that's when half of us will be dead, and I'm actually looking forward to that. So yes, kids, go to these concerts. infect us all. And, you know, there's too many humans anyway. I prefer dogs.
Are you going to keep ranting, Billy, or no?
No, no, you came in a little late with that.
Okay, all right. Well,
but if you say something that you know, sets me off, then I can rant again. You
okay,
know?
Well, Billy, my rebuttal to that would be basically like this. If I went to, you're the oldest person that I have in my life, Billy. You are 72 years old. You are the oldest person I know by about 10 years. If I went to an outdoor concert, you would know about it. And as a consequence of that, you would be able to plan whether or not you wanted to be around me or not, as you did many, many, many months ago. Remember when I was in your house and you and I were hanging out and I coughed into my hand and then you immediately turned into a nervous little child and you started saying, whoa.
I took out my gun and I started shooting at you. Get out of my house. You diseased thing.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah. Billy, but this is the thing is that I understand your trepidation around this issue, and I understand that you don't want people to die from COVID-19, Billy. But when it comes down to personal responsibility...
Wait, you're missing the point. It's not just dying of COVID-19. What I don't want is for the virus to thrive,
right.
And that is what's going on.
I understand.
We're keeping the virus alive with our behavior.
So, Billy, would you say that the fact that, according to the Biden administration, well over 50% of people in the United States have received at least one dose of the vaccine, that's a great metric. Actually, at this point in time, Billy, it's 70%. I mean, this is an amazing...
No, it's not. We're not up to 70.
All right. Well, I thought the Biden administration said that, Billy. Let me look this up.
Well, you know, and then there's places like Florida where the governor is, you know, wants to be president, so he's willing to destroy his state in the process.
Okay, so...
You know, to tell people you can't wear, it's against the law if you go and wear a mask.
All right.
Telling teachers how they have to behave.
So, Billy, according to these metrics, this is according to the CDC, in the United States, there has been 346 million doses of the vaccine given. Fully vaccinated people, that comes out to 165 million people, which puts the percentage of total population that is fully vaccinated at 50.2% and partially vaccinated just over 65%.
Those are
amazing numbers, Billy. That's an amazing, amazing feat. I mean, this is truly astounding. And so if you think about
it... Yes, you know, we got to give the Biden administration credit for actually figuring out how to distribute and continue to distribute this vaccine.
Billy,
attaboy, Joe. Thank you.
They used the Trump plan. They used exactly the Trump plan.
There was no Trump plan at all.
Billy, that's a fiction right there. This is what happened. Billy, I have to say this because this is my job for the news, okay? I have to clarify this.
You have to tell the truth.
This is the truth of the matter. The Trump administration said, we are not going to set this up at the federal level. It's way too complicated. It has to be state by state by state by state. And if you remember this, Joe Biden said, there's no way that states can be responsible. He said this on the campaign trail. He said it has to be done at the federal level. And then they came into office, and within the first month, Billy, what did they do? They said, it's way too complicated to have it done at the federal level. It has to be done state by state by state by state.
The fact is they did both. The fact is the Biden administration did both. When Trump was around, Biden was begging the Trump people to let us start already because you're not doing anything. Now, Trump gets credit for allowing the fast track to happen. End of discussion. Let's get back to what we ought to be talking about.
Lollapalooza. We're talking about Lollapalooza. Okay.
Yeah, it's just too soon. It's the wrong time.
Okay.
You know, this is capitalism. This is capitalism. These people know better. The people running Lollapalooza are interested in money alone and don't care how many kids or grandmas they kill. I can't believe what we've become, how selfish this country has become. It's embarrassing to me.
Okay, so Billy, if you think about the fact that we have a flu season every year, and people die every year from the flu in horrific ways.
Not last year they didn't.
That's so funny.
Nobody got the flu. So, nobody got a cold. It was amazing.
So does this mean that as a result of this, as a consequence of this, that any time there is a flu that is particularly bad, because we do have bad flu years.
Come on. Seriously?
Hold on, Billy. Let me finish my point.
I know what you're going to say.
Well, yeah, but the audience does it, Billy. This is not telepathy. This is radio.
That is the problem we have. I do telepathy, and you're doing radio.
Go
ahead.
Exactly. So, does that mean that every time we have a bad flu season that we lock everything down? I mean, the flu is very contagious, Billy. It kills tens of thousands of people every year. I mean, what do you want me to do, Billy?
What I don't want to do is lock everything down. Let's see if we can help that.
But we're just trying to save
people
one life.
People who are vulnerable, and everybody else, could wear a mask during a very bad flu season, and it would the flu would die off really quickly. But we won't do that because some of us misunderstand what it means to be an individual and what it means to be a human being.
You and Dr. Z have the same argument, Billy, every single time. And I don't argue with Dr. Z on this because I love Dr. Z, but because I hate you,
Billy. How about we do a three-way?
No, I'm not. That's gross, Billy. How dare you? Billy, this is a family radio show, okay? Let's keep it classy.
You're the one with the dirt in his head, not me. I'm talking conversation. I don't know what you're talking about.
Billy, Dr. Z, if I got you and Dr. Z on the phone, you would cause Dr.
Insanity.
It would be Dr. Z's robot brain versus your garbage brain, and it would just be a nightmare situation for everybody out
Let's
there.
Do it.
Let's do it. So, Billy, it was your argumentation that I interrupted. Please continue.
Oh, I'm sorry. What was the last thing I said?
I don't remember because it wasn't important.
Well, there you go.
Okay, so but
I said something that agreed with Dr. Z, and you went off.
Oh, that's right. You know. That's right. So you and Dr. Z both make the same argument, which basically goes something like this: that this is America, and we have so much individual mentality out there. We need to start thinking more as a community, and everybody's a special snowflake, and how we need to start thinking more. Communities in this communal way, and communism, and so on and so forth. And because of that, nobody can go outside anymore without a mask. Because we're all now living in Stalin's America. Because I'm Billy Sunshine, and I'm Dr. Z, and this is the argument that I give to people.
What is not true about that argument, though? The fact is that if you don't look out for your neighbor, we're screwed. And isn't it that simple? If you think of your neighbor as more than one house away,
right,
then why aren't we just pulling together as much as possible? I'm not going to try to, you know, I don't have to share, you know, the dollar I have with you, but I don't need to share my disease with you either. Let's work together. That's all. You know, I don't have kids. I pay taxes and go to school because, frankly, I want my neighbor's kids educated so they don't have to rob from me.
Okay, so, Billy, Mayor...
We're in it together. We are. That's the thing that's missing during this whole thing.
Okay. So if we're in it together, Billy, then why is it that every flu season we don't stay in our homes and wear masks all the time and quiver and cower like
little babies? Because we do accept the fact that flu, cancer, these things exist.
Right.
We accept them. We're working on them. When one of them gets truly horrible, we should do exactly what we did,
right,
which is get all of our best minds working in one direction, try to keep the capitalism out of it, and solve the problem.
So what's the threshold for really bad, Billy? You tell me what the threshold is for really bad, and then I will...
I can't do that. It's a moving target.
It's a moving target.
Ask me each moment. I'll tell you right now that really bad is going to Lollapalooza during a new outbreak. I mean, seriously, this is a big deal. It's not a small thing that's happening.
Right.
I don't know whether you know it or not, but hospitals are getting full again. Are you aware?
I am aware of that, Billy, and that is a failure of the hospital system, because if you look at, on average, Billy, how many ICU beds does a hospital have in the United States on average? Do you know the number?
Why are you asking for facts when you know I don't know facts?
I know
big picture.
The number is really bad. It's 10. On average, hospitals in the United States have 10 ICU beds. That's ridiculous.
And what's wrong with that?
That's ridiculous,
Why?
Billy.
It's been fine up to now.
Well, see, Billy, this is a consequence of their poor planning.
Things, you don't build something for what you don't need until you need it, and then you say, "Oops," and then you put up a quick, you know, tent somewhere, and you deal with it.
So you, Billy, all like saying, "Oh, these people are only doing it for money, and they're only doing it for profit." The reason that most of these hospitals only have 10 ICU beds, Billy, is because they're doing it for what? For profit, because it's very expensive to run ICU units. So this is their fault for being underprepared, Billy. Objectively. Objectively.
So it's not the fault of the people who decide to go to festivals during a pandemic. You want to blame the hospitals.
Yes,
you're a fool. You are a fool, sir.
Okay, so Billy, let me ask you this question then.
What?
You, Lori Lightfoot, the mayor of Chicago,
yes.
went to Lollapalooza. Mrs. Lock everything down, Mrs. Get a haircut during the lockdowns, Mrs. Not wearing a mask. She was at Lollapalooza. If the leadership of your community goes to this event, are you going to come down on Lori Lightfoot in the same way that you come down on Ron
DeSantis?
Absolutely.
I'm going to come down on the political class because, in general, they are failing us in every direction. Everybody, every Republican with a G in front of their names, like Gosar and Gates, these are the most disgusting humans alive.
All right.
So right now, the political class is a failure and is the worst among us. So, they're hypocrites all. Is that what you want?
Yeah. All right, Billy, let's get into closing arguments really quick. So, finally, Billy, in the last...
That was my closing argument, by the way.
Oh, no.
I'm done.
Okay. Well, then, all we have left to do then, Billy, is tally up the votes, and this should be a lot of fun.
Okay.
So we're just waiting.
Yeah, I know how this works.
We're just waiting for the votes to be... Oh, Billy, while we're waiting for the votes to be tallied...
Is this a fraudit? Can we have a fraudit after this?
So last time when we were waiting for the votes to be tallied, 98973 State Roofing text line, all of a sudden 20 text messages come in, and they're all like, Billy, 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 Billy. Billy, Billy. It was so funny because they were all voting on
Yay.
And then all of a sudden the votes came in and they were all totally wrong about it. Okay, so Billy, we now officially
They were voting for me to go away.
No, they were voting
to fire me again.
They thought you were right, Billy. Okay, so we finally have the results and Billy Sunshine. Wow.
Knockout.
This is a huge surprise, Billy. It looks like wow, Billy. I won again. Yes. I am the best of all time. In your face, Billy. America wins again. America wins again, Billy Sunshine. How dare you come into my house and think that you can beat me at a debate in my own home, Billy Sunshine.
It's so true. Being a caller is not the winning position in talk radio.
All right,
I have figured that out.
Well, Billy, in the last 30 seconds, let me just say that I'm glad that you and I are buddies, and I'm glad that you didn't die from COVID-19, and I'm glad that
not yet.
I'm glad that I was so responsible during the height of COVID-19 that I wore gloves and a mask every time I came over to your multi-million-dollar mansion and dropped off frozen pizzas and ice cream for you.
I haven't had any ice cream in a month.
And for some reason...
So, Jack, I'd like to say this.
Yeah.
Where's the music? Put the music back.
Okay, hold on.
Yeah. Jack, I have enjoyed playing the role of better father figure for you.
Oh, that's
to
so
repair
sweet.
The damage that your family did to you.
That's so sweet, Billy.
With love and affection.
Yep.
That I approach you every time that we chat or speak.
Every time.
And that will always be the case.
Every time, Billy. You know, you call me and just yell at me. Every time.
Affectionately, though.
Affectionately, that's very true. All right, Billy. Well, we got to take a really quick break. We'll be right back after this with a whole lot more Cairo Nights. Mr. Billy Sunshine, you're not fired as of yet, but we'll let you know by Friday. All right, so we need to have a conversation, you and I, about memes. If you are, let us just say, over the age of 50. You know what a meme is? It's where you go on a Facebook page, see a funny picture, maybe it's a cat, got a little text underneath it, says, I'm fat, this is what it looks like on a Tuesday after I eat lunch. I don't know, something stupid like that, and you chuckle and you laugh to yourself. That's a meme. And I got to tell you something, that you can be bad memeing, you can be good memeing, or you can be dead memeing. Now, the worst thing in the world is to be bad memeing. You don't want to throw up a bad meme. But the very next thing that is almost as bad as that is a dead meme. Grumpy cat, psycho ex-girlfriend, Chad, things like that. Those are dead memes. No one wants to play around with those memes anymore. The reason that I bring this up is because the Tumwater School District hired Alexander Zardanov, who's the new director of diversity, equity, and inclusion. And up until a month ago, he was posting hateful memes on Facebook. He admits to posting offensive content, but his answers to angry parents may have done him in. Basically, he was exceedingly unapologetic about this at all. I mean, he basically said, hey, I was triggered by the Trump-Biden presidential election, and that is a terrible excuse. So his memes, just so you know, are bad memes. And as a meme expert, I have to tell you something, that when you engage in a meme, I really recommend that you make home-baked memes, meaning that you make your own. You do something funny like that. The worst thing that you can do is recycle somebody else's meme. Sometimes it works, but most of the time it doesn't. It just comes across as being really cringy. For example, Mr. Zanadoff posted on his personal Facebook page a meme that says Trump, keep America great. Right next to it is a little bit of text that says what you see on your lawn. Underneath that, it says racist lives here in the font of the Trump lawn sign. And then it says what I see on your lawn. This is objectively an unfunny meme. This is a bad meme. And I have to save you guys from bad memes. A meme can be political, but if you're going to make it funny, you have to do something that people actually kind of know that is true. So, for example, President Donald Trump notoriously is very concerned about his hands. He's very kind of self-conscious about his hands because he's got little teeny tiny hands. So one of the funniest memes I've ever seen is President Donald Trump, and he's reaching for a pen, and then right underneath it, someone took a baby hand, and they had that baby hand reaching for a pen wearing a suit. It's a very, very funny meme, but that's because we know it to be partially true. Let me juxtapose that with a bad meme, okay? This is someone who said, man, it must be so hard to come to this country and to learn English. For example, there is a silent K in the word night, 4 silent Ks in the word knickknack, and 3 silent Ks in the word Republican. Now, funny, it's kind of a C-minus meme. Now, it would be funnier if it was the first time that I've seen it, but I've seen so many different iterations of it, it's no longer funny, and it's no longer poignant. And this is the point of internet culture, that when you engage with internet culture, you're trying to be edgy, but you're also trying to be original. The internet loves originality. And so if you can take something that is from your own life or something that you have observed and put it out there into the world, you'll get a much better reaction than recycling dead memes or old memes. Just as an example, there's another picture from Mr. Zanadov where he posts a picture of a black man with dreadlocks, and it says, if Jesus looked like this, would white conservatives still be Christians? And I can tell you that the majority of people out there who are Christians understand that Jesus of Nazareth was a brown man. The people who depict our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as a blonde-haired white man with blue eyes, obviously those people are ignorant to history, but it doesn't happen very often. Most people understand that Jesus of Nazareth was born in Bronze Age Palestine. He probably looked closer to me with my olive complexion than he does to let us just say John Tesh, if that's an example for you. So when you post stuff like this, the implication is designed to be hurtful, and it's designed to be condescending, and it's designed to be stupid. And this is why people push back against it. These are just bad memes. Now, maybe if this guy had posted some better memes. Oh, here's a good one. It's a bunch of people in MAGA hats. And this is a picture from pre-desegregation in the South, and there is a black man at a countertop, and he is trying to eat at a diner, and all of the white men around him are all wearing MAGA hats. See, now, I will be one of the first people out there to say that there are white supremacists within the MAGA movement. That's just irrefutable. But then to go on and to kind of retcon history like this in the form of a meme is pretty gross. And when you ask me what kind of stuff divides the country, sure, a lot of it is Trump's rhetoric. Sure, a ton of it is Biden's rhetoric, 100%. But these little teeny tiny cracks from people that we should otherwise be trusting, meaning that someone who is hired by a school to do a job, someone that we should trust, a bureaucrat, who in their private life is engaging in this kind of language, as someone who, a right-wing hack, when I look at images like this, I think to myself, is this the way that this guy feels about me? Does he think that I'm a racist? I don't even really need to guess, because I know that he does based on the content that he posts. And I would say the same thing about people on the right who try to meme. I mean, all this like meme war stuff is really irritating, but these kinds of things irritate people. They alienate people. And although you may get some comments and some likes and some people might put a little heart thing and they might say, oh, I love this, that short little burst of dopamine is not worth the years of alienation that it produces. And I get that politics is deeply frustrating. I engage with it every single day. But when I see this kind of stuff, when I see people trying to externalize their frustration like this, I think to myself, hey, you know what, man? Step away from it. Before you post that meme, take 2 or 3 minutes to think to yourself, I mean, am I doing this for internet points, or am I doing this because this is something that I fundamentally believe in? Am I doing this because this is funny and engaging, or am I doing this because it's pointed and rude? And in the free marketplace of ideas, yeah, sure. In the town square, yeah, sure, you can say whatever you want, but don't think that there won't be consequences. And this is a perfect example of that. You post stuff like this, and then you give parents a bad answer. How are people supposed to feel about you? Of course you're going to get fired. Of course you are. You know, I never say anything that I don't fundamentally believe. And if I'm wrong about something or if I'm incorrect about something, I can take it back easily. I can say, hey, you know what? I should have been more informed about X, Y, and Z, blah, 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 blah. But when you do stuff like this, it's cemented. It's on the internet. It's there forever. And you can't take it back. And that's where the conflict comes from. So, yeah, this guy should have been fired for sure. I mean, this is garbage content, first and foremost. He should be embarrassed to have put this on the internet in the first place. But second of all, you can't then come on and make an excuse about it. You're supposed to represent everybody, right? If you're being paid by taxpayer dollars, you're supposed to represent everybody. So think about that moving forward if you're going to go around and post memes all willy-nilly. All right, we'll take a really quick break. When we get back, Shane Peterson will be telling us whatever story is on his mind today. It's a surprise for me. It's a surprise for you. Take a really quick break. We'll be right back after this. Also the producer of Cairo Nights, and he has a brain unlike any other human being I've ever met in my life. Now, Shane, you say that it is because you have dyslexia. I would say it's because you're neurodivergent, meaning that you're special in a different way. How do you like that one?
Oh, shuck, you sound like my mom.
I know, your mom was like, she sent me an email. She said, please compliment Shane more.
Yeah, no, you definitely make the folks happy when you give me some praise. But, oh, you know, I don't know. I do have a very strange brain, and somehow it finds its way into news and articles that I think only one like myself could find. And I saw this one today.
Yeah.
And I mean, it was just perfect. So this one is coming out of the Daily Mail. So it looks like there was an incident at a Burger King in Michigan. Now, Jack, are you a big fast food guy at all?
I was. When I was a musician, I knew all of the secret menu items for every single restaurant out there. Because you're on tour, right? And you're constantly having to eat garbage food. So I invented things like the McSurf and Turf Deluxe, the Burger King.
The McSurf and Turf Deluxe. Is that a fish fillet and like a McDouble?
Okay. This McSurf and Turf Deluxe is a quarter pounder with cheese, and you remove the top bun and the bottom bun, and then you get a Filet-O-Fish, and you remove the top, and you make the Filet-O-Fish the bottom of the sandwich, and then you get a McChicken, and then you take the bottom off of the McChicken and you make that the top of the sandwich, and thus you have the McSurf and Turf Deluxe.
That sounds wild. I've done the McDouble and the McChicken before, and it's gone by many different names.
Yeah.
But that's the only one that I've ever gone with. But Burger King is a place that I ate at a lot, and a place that I have a lot of solitude and a lot of happy memories. But if I was at the drive-thru at this location in Detroit, I would not be super stoked. So a Michigan Burger King employee is facing felony firearm charges after he took out a handgun and pointed it at a trio of drive-through customers in a fight over how they would pay for the food, police say.
Wow.
Yeah. So Justin, I'm going to pronounce his name so bad, Wachello, who's 24, was charged this week for the incident on April 28th when he was working the drive-through at Burger King on 7 Mile Road in Livonia, Michigan. So, I mean, that's a mile away from old 8 Mile, the old stomping grounds of M&M. Yeah. So we only know what really goes on in that neighborhood. Police said he allegedly pointed a gun at three customers sitting in their car after what cops said was a disagreement over the payment method. The customers were able to speed off and call 911. And if you look at the actual videos, this guy is just no regrets given, does not care, just whips out his gun right in the drive-thru of a Burger King. Now, it's absolutely crazy because there was a separate incident at a Memphis, Tennessee location where a Burger King customer actually opened fire on staff through the drive-thru window after police say she became annoyed with the long wait time. So, for some reason, there's a lot of people packing heat over at the Burger King, and I don't understand why people need to carry their piece at the BK Lounge of all places.
Yeah, this is really, really frustrating because the Burger King experience is one of peace. It's one of camaraderie. It's a truly American experience. I am watching this piece of footage. He's clearly got a holster and he just goes right for it. And wow, okay, so he's sitting there and he's in the drive through and then boom, he just takes it out, trained, points it at the people. This is so frustrating. Okay, but let's think about it from a different angle. What causes a man, truthfully, outside of payment method, to default to the gun? Was he trying to protect the Burger King, meaning in the sense that he was trying to protect the integrity of the Burger King? Were these people insulting the king?
I think they were insulting the king.
Were these people saying, hey, this isn't McDonald's? I mean, were they trying to do something to try to insult the integrity of Burger King? And the fact that this guy is going to face felony charges for this, this is 8 counts. 8 counts, including felony firearm possession. Wow. Okay. This is what society's come to now, Shane, is people pulling guns out at each other over payment methods at Burger King.
Yeah, a lot of gats going through the BK Lounge, yeah, which I don't. It's so. And the thing that's crazy is that, like we mentioned, he was at 7 Mile, which, you know, 7 Mile, 8 Mile, that area in Michigan is one of the roughest areas probably in the United States when it comes to just income inequality. It's a bad, rough place. So, I mean, I've known people who, when I grew up in Sacramento, guys that I played rugby with that were from South Sacramento, that felt that they needed to carry the gun for their own safety because they felt threatened by just being in the environment they were. So maybe this guy was getting in an argument and he's like, okay, these people are rolling 3 deep. I'm going to show them that I have a gun so they won't mess with me and get out of the way. And his simple brain didn't figure out that, you know, you can't really ever do that at a, you know, an eating establishment. Yeah. They usually don't got a lot of guns there. So it's just an absolutely sad story all around. But I mean, also just great that he actually didn't start pulling the trigger and actually went after these people sitting in their car in the drive-thru, because that would have not only just been a bad scene, but also probably would have been bad for everybody else waiting for their food.
Yeah, 100%. Speaking of people waiting for their food, by the way, Stacey Jo Rost is going to be coming in a couple of few. And we're going to be talking about a movie that I rewatched over the weekend, as well as The Freedom Phone, which I think that a lot of people need to hear about because it's 100% a grift. Stick around. We'll take a really, really quick break. We'll be right back after this.